believe God has given me a word for this morning. The next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a sermon series called The King and His Kingdom. And when I think of the king, I don't think of a president. I don't think of some earthly king, but I think of Jesus. I think of our Lord. And when I think of the kingdom, it's not the United States of America or some church, but it is his kingdom that is around the world. God is so, so good. And when I think of the kingdom, thoughts of the Old Testament come to mind. In fact, when we look at the word of God, all the way from Adam and Eve when they sinned in the garden, God has been working a plan to see his glory fulfilled on the earth, to see and to make a moment when Jesus would come to this earth. In fact, in some sort of stable, and we saw a baby Jesus over here, born into the mess, I would say, of the earth. Anybody else, there's issues and problems and situations, wherever it might be, but he is on the throne, and God worked a master plan so the king could come to earth and begin a rule that is unlike any other king and any other kingdom. When I think about the king and the kingdom, I think about a king that is bringing about all that he has for you and for me more and more every single day. I think about a king, in fact, one who the glory of God is fulfilled in. I think about the one who is the first and last and the answer as our counselor. I think about the one that rules as God, who is mighty, the one who is the creator and author of eternity. I think about the one who makes peace between God and man. He is the king who rules an ever-expanding government of peace. He is the king whose reign will stretch way beyond a thousand-year reign into eternity. He is the king, the one ruler who will fulfill what the word spoke of, to fulfill the Davidic line and all of the prophecies, what he's already done. His kingdom will be upheld with justice, righteousness, and the zeal of the Lord. I think of a God that was born as a child. What a mystery. I think of a son that grew up into a man but was sinless. I think of one who was given by God to man to walk as God, but being man. When I think of the one, I think of the king and his kingdom. I think of a kingdom that we don't only know of because what we experience now, but because of what we have learned and experienced through the word of God over thousands and thousands of years. The goodness of God, his kingdom has no end. As we were stating those things, maybe some of those things are common to you, or maybe some of those are new. But in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In fact, as I was reading and studying and growing this week, you know what came to my mind? Our counselor, our God. And if you're in this place today and you go to a counselor, I say, that's awesome. It's a great thing to learn and to grow. But I pray that when we go into a counselor, we take our heavenly counselor. We let him move in us and walk with us and go before us. I think of a mighty God. I think of our everlasting Father. I think of the one that rules and reigns in our life if we let him. The one. The king and his kingdom. Verse 7 goes on to say, "Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." When I think about this scripture and these passages in Isaiah, I think about a time throughout the Old Testament where prophet after prophet spoke of the goodness of God, and many looked to Jesus that was coming in the future. And even while talking to a group of people that wanted to be delivered, wanted to be saved, now they pointed ahead. They pointed to Jesus. They pointed to this child that was going to be born. Which means that when we get to the New Testament and to Matthew and Mark, Luke, John, and we hear of Jesus and him walking on this earth. When today we're going to look at Matthew, and Luke and the story of Jesus being born, the story of Mary, of Joseph, of the shepherds, in future weeks of the wise men and gifts. In fact, in my house, or my dad's house right now, if you go by some night, there is a full nativity scene of life-size Bible characters, all of these things that I just mentioned. This story that comes to reality and that happened 2,000 plus years ago, but that we get to walk and celebrate every Christmas. It is pointed to from Isaiah. It's pointed to from Jeremiah. It's pointed to, and God worked his plan. And today I want us to look at a couple of the characters, the people, the real life people that we get to see. I mentioned Mary, the Joseph, the shepherds. And today we're going to look at these three specifically and see what heavenly visitation, heavenly messengers showed up in their life. Now, just to get a little bit of the premise this morning, I think it's important to realize that God still shows up to us today. First of all, he shows up through the word of God. He speaks through his word. He talks through his word. He speaks to you. The principles of his word, the commandments of his word, they're all right here. Which means if you don't have a Bible that you read and that you study, I encourage you to get one. Jump into Luke. Find the book of Luke. It's towards the end. You can read about Jesus. You can read about who he is. He still speaks. But he also still speaks in other ways. He speaks through his Holy Spirit to us in a personal, in a real way. He makes the word of God come alive. And you know what else he does? Just like in Bible days, every once in a while, he'll show up to people in a dream or as an angel that would come before them. And I think those are the coolest stories when we hear of God moving and speaking and showing himself. But never am I standing there looking or waiting for an angel, right? Because the word of God is there. He wants to speak into your life. Now, if God shows up in a special way, I encourage you, tell somebody about it. That could be a really cool thing, a really encouraging moment. But he still moves. Heavenly messengers are still around. Angels are still with us. And God is an amazing God, the King and his kingdom. Well, let's look at Mary real fast. Mary, she was favored by God. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, this would have been a really cool scene, but I just want to set up a couple things. First of all, it says that she was betrothed to Joseph, right? She was betrothed in marriage. Now, in our day and age, we don't quite have the same setup. In their day, there was an engagement. Now, an engagement to us means you're going to get married in the future. Some people, maybe my wife and I, we were engaged for a shorter period of time. Some people are engaged for many years, right? I mean, who knows, 3-4 years sometimes. In fact, how many of you, anybody in the house, you were engaged for 5 years or longer? Just anybody? Nobody? 4 years or longer? Any 4 years? 3 years or longer in the room? No threes? So 2 years or longer? There we go. There starts to be some hands. A year or longer? A bunch of you, absolutely. And then if you're married, it would go down from there, right? There'd be more of us. And in their day and age, an engagement might happen, and it happened because two dads, the dad of the boy and the dad of the girl, they would get together and say, "Our kids are going to get married someday in the future." In fact, kids over here, maybe at your age, your dads might get together and say, "I think our kids would be cute together, our family lines, they would be great." And they would pick, maybe at your age, the kids on this stage, that they're going to be engaged someday to be married. That sounds awesome. How many dads think that would be a cool thing? A few dads, only like 4 or 5. I see some grandpas. More grandpas are shaking their heads, yes. But I mean, that'd be pretty cool. That's a lot of pressure, however. That's a lot of pressure. But there's the engagement. Then there was this betrothal, this next step. And this is when the young man and the young woman would be about a year away from getting married, and they would commit to one another. At that point, it was as if they were married. They didn't live together. They didn't do things married people do together, but in the commitment, it was as if they were married. In fact, in their day and age, you could actually be stoned, you could be put to death if during that time you cheated on the other, specifically the girl. You're like, whoa, man, Bible days, a little different than today. I think in some ways, good, like, and some good things. All right, that's where they were. So for Mary to have an angel come to her and for Mary to be told later as it goes on that she's going to be pregnant, she's going to be with child of the Savior, that might be a super exciting thing, but you know what else that might be? Absolutely terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Because what's going to happen? What is Joseph going to do? What's the situation going to look like? And the angel said that Mary was favored. Said, the Lord is with you. Said, you are blessed. And when we are in a place where we feel that sort of favor in our life, we have two opportunities, two answers to go with. Mary's response was, I'm a servant of the Lord. I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. I will be who you want me to be. Right? She used the words, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. This favored woman of God, this person who God chose to carry the Son of God, was favored and said, I will serve. I will do what you've called me to do. And I believe that in life, sometimes those that are favored, sometimes those that may, for whatever reason, seem like there's privilege or life is easier for, sometimes it's difficult to remain a servant, to remain where we should be, to remain what God has called us to be, because life is easier, because life just is what it is. But Mary understood that this is impossible except for God. Mary understood that even when the angel said, nothing is impossible with God, the only response she could have is, I will do it. Mary, who is highly favored, remained a servant and the mother of the Savior. She was favored, but she was a servant. When we look to Joseph, the next person in our story today, I think we maybe see a little bit of a different sort of a situation. In fact, in Joseph, we might see, I would use the word unwilling that jumps out to me. It says in Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, a couple of things that just jump out to me is that it says that she was found to be with child. And as I would read that and study that, found to be doesn't sound like, the language doesn't show that she went and said, hey, Joseph, an angel just showed up to me and told me that I'm pregnant and that I'm going to have Jesus. I'm going to have the Savior of the world. And that you're going to be the father, you're going to adopt him as your own. Right? It doesn't say that that happened. And it says that she was found to be with child. And there's times when God gives us something, he gives us a word, and it's not our job necessarily to tell the whole world, but it's our job to be a servant. It's our job to be faithful. It's our job to remain true to who God has called us to be. And I believe she did that. But in this story, we find that Joseph, he was unwilling. When you really look at it, he was unwilling to do some things that were good. He was unwilling to publicly disgrace Mary, which he could have. That would have been the right. He was unwilling to say, you know, to divorce her in that way and to get rid of her in a public manner. But he was also unwilling to say, I'm just going to trust this girl. And why might that be? Because in their day, that would have made him look bad. That would have made his family look bad. There would have been different things. And there's times and there's situations when all of a sudden we don't know what to do. We may not have the answer. And I believe Joseph, wanting to do what God had called him to do, but didn't know what it was. But you know what he did? Even in his unwillingness to just say, I'm going to take Jesus. I'm going to take Mary at her word. He kept his ear open to the things of God. Because it says that while he was pondering, while he was looking at this, an angel came to him. An angel showed up in this powerful moment. I think it's an important place that we need to be. Because the angel said, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save you and his people from their sins. In the middle of not knowing, in the middle of not having the answer, in the middle of not knowing all the things. And kids over here, have you ever been in a place where you don't have all the answers? You don't know, y'all, thank you. Look, there's some honest kids over there. We don't have all the answers. Can you be willing to say, Jesus, whatever you want to speak to my heart, I'm going to do. In Joseph's situation, the angel came to him. The angel said that you shall call his name Jesus. And what the angel is saying is that means you're going to adopt him. You're going to raise him as your own. He's going to have your right as you as the father. The angel says you are going to be the father, the adopted father of Jesus. And all of a sudden, Mary, who is favored, right? She comes and she says, I'm going to remain a servant. Joseph, who was unwilling when the angel showed up, said, I'm in. I'll do whatever it is. Even in my unwillingness, not my unknowing, I'm going to father Jesus. I'm going to take him in. And I believe there's people in this room today that you've been unwilling for whatever reason. Maybe you didn't even know yet. But there's been something that God's asking you to do. Maybe he's calling you to himself. Maybe there's something that you're supposed to get rid of or step away from. And I believe that today, if we'll let God speak, he wants to speak through his word. He wants to speak through his spirit. He wants there to be a heavenly messenger that speaks into your life. And the question today is, are we willing to listen to the God of the universe? And when he speaks, say, I'm no longer unwilling. But in just a moment, Joseph, his whole future, Mary's future changed because he said, I will do it. I'll take him as my own. I call him Jesus. What a powerful moment. And I believe in each one of our lives today, God is calling us to be willing that when he speaks, to say yes. Maybe last week or last month or last year, it wouldn't have been the same. But today, when the Lord speaks, that I'm going to say yes to him. I'm going to father whatever desires and ideas and things that he puts in my life. I'm going to father them. I'm going to run them. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Mary was favored and remained a servant. Joseph was unwilling, but he became a father because the Lord spoke and he said yes to God. And the shepherds, I think the shepherds are a special case. Can you just imagine with me for one moment? Kids, can you imagine, in fact, right now, if there was just a host of angels that showed up and all of a sudden they were swooping over the sky and they were singing the most beautiful song you've ever heard, right? You'd be like, what? What is this? I believe that the shepherd's response was correct, which was fear, was I don't know what to do. I'm out here. No one ever comes out here. No one messes with us. We're out in the countryside. And all of a sudden, a host of angels shows up before them. And there was fear that they experienced. What a powerful moment. In fact, in Luke 2, 8 and 9, it says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. But the thing that the shepherds did that was right on is in their fear, when the angel spoke to them, when the angel told them to go find Jesus, guess what they did? They went. They said, I'll do it. Even in this moment of shock, in this moment of just the most beautiful thing they've ever said, they went. And when they went, everything changed, I believe, for their life. They went and they found Jesus lying in a manger. They found him maybe in a cave or a place where no kid should ever be born. But they realized that God was revealing himself. God was coming to earth as a baby. And they began to praise and glorify the Lord. The shepherds who had great fear became great worshipers. And I believe today that maybe there's kids over here. In fact, how many of you kids are scared of something? How many of you kids? Yes, there's a bunch. I'm going to ask adults. How many of you adults are scared of something? You've got something. You might even say it doesn't make sense. Okay, I'm actually going to ask. How many of you are scared of something that you're kind of embarrassed that you're scared of because you know it's ridiculous? How many? Oh, yes, a good number. Kids, a bunch over here too, right? There's things in our life, but you know what's way more scary than spiders? Who's scared of spiders in the room? Who doesn't like spiders? Oh yeah, look at all these kids. Now, when I was a kid, this might be called abuse, I'm not sure, but my kids were scared of ants. Now, Ohio ants, right? We don't have fire ants. They're not going to bite you and like welts and stuff. So what does any good loving dad do to help a kid not be afraid of ants is collect some ants, hold down my children, and put ants on my children. Now, right, don't call anything on me. I don't know. That's probably not the way you're supposed to do it. But my kids then started to laugh because guess what ants, when they're crawling around, it's kind of ticklish. It's ticklish. And from that day forward, my kids were not scared of ants because they wouldn't hurt you, all these things. Now, then we went to Texas, and my daughter leaned up against a tree stump. In Texas, the ants are a little bit different. There, I see Avery right back there. She leaned up, and all of a sudden, she had fire ants all over her, and they bit her, and it was terrible, and I had to get them all off of her, and it was one of those deals. That was just a free story. But we could be afraid of things. In Texas, not so good. Here, not a big deal. But there's things that are bigger than ants or spiders or, I don't know why, mice. I hate mice. I'll jump and run away from a little teeny mouse. Like, what's the mouse going to do? Really? But it doesn't matter. Oh, see, he saw one. That's good. But you know what is bigger than that? You know what's bigger than mice or spiders or ants? Is things of life, decisions of life. Choices that we have to make, saying yes to Jesus when he shows up. That's way bigger decision. And we can walk sometimes and be a little bit of scared of, Lord, what are you going to ask me to do? Or where are you going to ask me to go? And today I want to be like the shepherds, that no matter the fear of the decision, no matter what the decision looks like, young person, older person, middle-aged person, that we say, God, you show up, you speak to me, your word speaks to me, and I'm going to go and do what you've said. And when I get to the manger, maybe today, when I get in your presence, when I get with your word, when I get in that time and you reveal yourself to me, I'm going to have a whole change of countenance and fear is gone. And now I'm going to celebrate and glorify the goodness of God in my life. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to father his ideas and what he has for me. I'm going to be a worshiper, which means there's no place for fear. There's no place to be concerned when I lock myself in to who God has me to be. Now, as we close today, I think of Mary. I think of Joseph. I think of shepherds, not rich people, not people with high societal class, not people that you'd think of are going to birth the God of the universe, that's going to live a sinless life, that's going to go to a cross to die for us, to take our sins, that's going to come back to life. These are not the people that you would think of. But God chose Mary and Joseph and shepherds. He chose people that probably didn't have the education that was necessary, that didn't have the past that was necessary, didn't have all of these things to bring about the biggest miracle of all. And today I want to encourage you, don't limit God choosing you. He can use you if you trust him. In fact, he can use you if you say yes to him. That's the only prerequisite, is to say yes to Jesus. Take him at his word. Take him at what his word says and say yes to him. From the youngest in this room to the oldest in this room, we all have the same job on December 13th of 2020, is to say yes to Jesus. And on this morning, the greatest thing that we could ever experience is the love of God being poured out. And before we close today, I want to give the opportunity that if you say, you know what, I want God to speak in my life, and maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, or maybe you're not serving him and living for him, I would encourage you, today is the day. Today is the day to say yes to him, to ask him to be the Lord of your life, to ask him to forgive you of your sin, of the things that you've done. To say, Lord, would you be the Lord of my life? He loves you. He cares for you, and he has the best for you. So in fact, in this room, if you would you just bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? If you're a believer and you're following Jesus, this would be a great time just to pray. Let God speak to you. Maybe if you're not today, would this be the day that you'd say, God, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to say yes to you. I might have been fearful. I might not have never said yes before, but today is the day I want to become a part of your family. Just like Joseph adopted Jesus, Lord, would you adopt me into your kingdom? The king is waiting for you. He wants you. He loves you. And today, if that's you, would you just be willing to stick your hand high up in the air? In fact, I'm going to start over here with all of our kids. Are there any of you kids that have never given my life to Jesus, but this morning I want to become a child of God? I want to be in his family. Yes, look at all these hands. Love it. Thank you so much. In the next section over, if you say, that's me, I want to give my life to the Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, if you've never done it, today is your day. Anybody in this section? Yes, thank you. In the sound booth section, if you'd say, that's me, would you raise your hand? Would you just want to see it and we can pray for you? Awesome. And then the far left section, say, that's me. Anybody that you want to give your heart to Jesus? Wonderful. Thank you. Well, let's just celebrate. God is doing such a cool thing. And this morning, if you just raised your hand, would you repeat a simple prayer after me today? Maybe you are at home. Would you say these words after me? In fact, the whole room, could we repeat this together? Say, dear Lord, I love you, and I give you my life. Would you forgive me of my sin? Make me a new person as I repent of my past. I love you, and I thank you. And I thank you that the King would welcome me to his kingdom. We love you. In your name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate those who raised their hands and just gave their heart to Jesus this morning? It's what it's all about. Before we go, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing on you. Maybe there's something that God wants to do. Maybe to give and to remain a servant to him. Maybe today you say, man, there's something that I've been struggling with. I've been unwilling. And today God wants to birth something that you adopt as your own desire, as your own idea. Maybe today you've been walking in fear and he wants to give you a worshiping spirit, a joyful spirit, and turn what was into something good and powerful. So Lord, I thank you for this amazing congregation. I thank you for these families. I thank you for these grandmas and grandpas and maybe family members that aren't here at this church every single week. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, that what we've learned, what we've studied, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to put into action in our life. Let us be servants, God. Let us take your ideas and say yes to them. And Lord, let us be worshipers who do not let fear guide our life, but follow you and say yes to you in all we do. So Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship and exalt you, Jesus, for you are so, so good. It's in your holy and precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for joining with our kids' Christmas production. And this week, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.